2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Joe into DFS pro.
MLB Daily Dispatch brought to you by DFSArmy.com. Promo code podcast gets you 10% off each month of your subscription. With that, you're getting access to our domination station, research station, and all sorts of VIP articles and tools as well. Once again, DFSArmy.com. Promo code podcast gets you 10% off each month of your subscription. I'm your host, Al Walsh. Find me on Twitter, 14A.Walsh. Find Boomer's Daddy, find Keith Hall. Boomer CFS Daddy. Messed up the intro for the first time in a while. That's okay. Friday MLB, one of my favorite days of the year. Days of the week, I'm sorry. But it's actually one of my favorite – I guess this is one of my favorite times of the year when you've got such an easy sort of play that you could go to. But for us GPP guys out there, this is going to be a fun sort of Xander Bogaerts versus the world kind of day.
Yeah, we'll touch on that when we get to that part. But there's two schools of thought. Neither one of them are wrong, but mine's more right. So.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm going to be on the same one anyway. So.
Yeah, it's one of those things like. We'll talk about it. So,
okay. Nice tease.
He's not the only one in this situation.
No, he's not. They're both of these guys are on the same side of the infield.
Yes, they are. So we'll get it.
Not the same league, not the same park, not all that, but yeah, they'll be in the discussion near one another. All right, very good, very good. How you doing on this Friday? You ready to win $100,000?
Sure. Okay. I got to play in a contest that allows me to win 100K first.
Very nice. Very nice. All right. Let us, since we got
some available on FanDuel.
Yep. We got so many games today. So let's just dig right in with the pitching on tonight's slate. Who is your Fonz tonight?
Well, you've got a list of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 at the top that you could really, really, really kind of, look towards. For me personally, it's hard to kind of pass up, the combination of Jacob DeGrom and, Luis Severino and Corey Kluber. So, as far as like top tier, I mean, you've got four pitchers on FanDuel that are over 10K. My top two would be obviously, Jacob DeGrom, and I would probably say, like, as much as it scares me being in going against the Angels, who don't strike out a lot, probably Luis Severino for the second option. That one I don't think is for the faint of heart, going up against guys like Mike Trout.
Justin Upton, Ian Kinsler, Zach Cozart, you know, no.
Yeah,
big deal.
I mean, they're pesky with pop and they don't strike out a lot. Like You've got guys that do kind of strike out. Cole Calhoun striking out above average this year. You've got other guys in there. Trout doesn't strike out a lot. He puts the ball in play. Ian Kinsler, I mean, we can see it over the course of his career. That's more of a GPP play because I know what Severino can bring to the table. He's a guy that is – he can light up the radar gun. He's got tremendous movement on his pitches, and as long as he's on, he's on. And it doesn't matter who the matchup is. He can strike him out with the best of them. The question is I can't even talk this morning. My gosh. Are
hey,
the walks.
I infected you because in the intro, I couldn't even get it out the right way. So
yeah. Are there walks that are going to like come back to him? And I honestly want Ross to Romine catching.
Yes.
We've been through this. We've been down this road before. And yes, Gary Sanchez is an elite catcher when it comes to like arm talent and pop time and holding guys to the running game. But when it comes to like game management, pitch framing, handling of a staff, Austin Romine is a lot better. And I'm very hesitant to play these Yankees pitchers when Romine's not behind the plate. And it really sucks because like the way their lineup is constructed, it's constructed around Gary Sanchez doing the majority of the catching.
Very interesting. Very interesting. I hate when I have to be a homer, but it is worth mentioning.
I said
today.
Over 10K. We haven't got that far yet.
Man, I get so excited when the Phils are in there.
I know you do, and we'll talk about him, I promise. But let's stick on the same aspect.
This is a role reversal from 2017 when I had to settle you down about the Rockies all the time. Now the Phils are like actually playing good baseball. Like, all right, Walsh, calm down. But no, anyway, look, obviously I'm in a serious sentiments here on DeGrom going up against the Padres team. I think there's a lot of strikeouts. Built into that lineup already, so I don't mind going there. Your boy John Gray just made him look absolutely foolish the other day. I think the Grom can certainly do that. The one issue I had with Corey Kluber looks like there's on off again rain in that in Cleveland at that time for that game. I have no issue with him going against the Mariners. He faced them back on opening day, if you remember, had a tough first inning and then cruised the rest of the way. So I don't mind that at all. It's just the weather there is going to, make me a little bit cautious there. And then Steven Strasburg there against the Arizona Diamondbacks, he can get some strikeouts there. I'm not worried about it. Obviously, Diamondbacks, best team in the NL right now, playing some really good baseball. It's certainly a very tough lineup that you have to go against with guys like David Peralta, Paul Goldschmidt, AJ Pollock, Ketel Marte. I mean, hell, even Alex Avila started to hit a little bit there in Philly over the last couple days. So that is a pretty tough lineup to deal with. Again, probably going to be chalk, but I don't mind it. Jacob DeGrom here against the Padres looking pretty damn good to me.
Yeah, and I was actually kind of a little bit mistaken on Severino. He's actually got better numbers with Gary Sanchez behind the plate.
Interesting.
Almost a full run lower than Austin Romine. Batting average just barely above the Mendoza line at .208. And this is in 33 games, 107 innings pitched. It's not like he has a low sample size with Romine. He's got over 100 innings with Romine, and his ERA is almost a full run higher. So maybe this is exactly where we want Severino against the Angels. It just looks like he is more comfortable with his strikeouts per walk is a drastic difference between the two catchers that he's thrown to in his career. I mean, the only guy that he has more than a 25 inning sample size against outside of those two is Brian McCann, and I mean he's obviously the worst out of all of them, but still, I mean, it's one of those things that I was mistaken on, because we've seen what Romine's done for a lot of these other guys. I mean, Sonny Gray comes into play and everything like that. So that's my fault. I was mistaken. I just looked up the numbers.
No worries. I will not be scolding you here in public. But all right, let's talk about some of these other pitchers then that won't cost as much money. Obviously, you know, huge slate like this, they're going to be bats that we want to afford. Me personally, I want to afford Manny Machado tonight, but we'll get to that later. Who are some of these pitchers that'll alleviate some cost on our shoulders tonight?
All right, let's start off with your boy.
Yay! Aaron Nola going up against the Braves tonight at home. So one of the first things I do each morning, got to take a look at the Vegas odds, got to see what's going, and god damn, Aaron Nola all the way up at -172 currently. Now, That is, what, about 2 o'clock Eastern here that we've got that. We'll see where it goes for the rest of the day. But you're telling me that Aaron Nola is a minus 172 moneyline favorite against an Atlanta Braves team that is just absolutely rocking and rolling at the moment. They add Acuna to their lineup, and now they look even more deadly. But, and here's what's funny is that I don't even know if I'm going to go with Nola tonight. All those reasons that I just mentioned, this Atlanta Braves lineup, the fact that they don't strike out a lot, it's really not that appealing, but Vegas sees something here. And yeah, I'll Vegas be honest with you, the Phils are not favored by this much that often. I mean, I understand they're playing some good ball, but even in some of these other games, they haven't been that big a favorite against lesser teams like the Pirates or the Marlins or something like that. Yeah, they're up there, but it's not like an overly convincing number. So for them to be at this point against the Braves has certainly raised my radar a bit here.
Yeah, Vegas has got me interested in Aaron Nola for that reason. However, I think I might have a little bit more interest in a slight little Atlanta stack. Just Markakis and Freeman have had the most success against him. So I'm kind of split on it. I'll probably take a chance on him and hoping that one of these top guys don't like absolutely just break the slate. One of these, a guy like Kluber or DeGrom or Strasburg or Severino, those, when I say top guys, I mean guys over 10K, the elite of the elite on today's slate. So, that's something I'm looking at. It's the StatCast numbers are pretty good for Mr. Nola tonight. There's a little bit of negative regression that's supposed to go on, but he's got one of the best exit velocities against on the slate, and he's top five, right at just over 85.3 miles an hour. So it's not something that I am afraid to go at. It's just, does he have the upside in this matchup? And we saw what he was doing to the Braves on opening day.
Oh yeah.
I think Gabe Kapler's finally kind of started to find a nice little balance between trusting the numbers and trusting your players.
Sure.
Which if he didn't, now it's not always like that. Like he still has some questionable calls, but
a lot of bullpen usage, that is for sure.
Yeah, you better.
like if you go to a Phils game, right, and you're hoping that you're getting out of there in 3 hours,
you're getting at least 3 to 4 pitching changes most nights.
All right.
In the middle of an inning, and we're not even talking about like the beginning of an inning. We're talking about the middle of an inning. it's crazy, but he trusts his numbers and he trusts his stats and he'll go to them. So, I hope that he starts to allow his top guys, his starters, to kind of work deeper into ball games. And if they work into a mess, let them work out of it. Like, I understand that every game counts and you want to try to win every single game, but you also, and I know this strictly from like a bullpen usage standpoint, with my guys being in Coors, which can tax a bullpen really quick, you have to try to allow these guys to go deep into ball games. Like, it's just, you can't do this for 162 games. Like, that strategy will work great in the playoffs. You know, give me five innings and go through the lineup two, and I'll match you up the rest of the time. But over the course of 162 games, unless you're going to cycle guys on and off the 10-day DL, and you've got guys down in AAA that are, that can come in and fill in with options, and you can manage and work a roster and a bullpen like that, you have got to let these guys go deep. And that's something that Gabe Kapler started to let Aaron Nola and Jake Arrieta kind of do a little bit.
Yeah, I think Arrieta was like, boy, Gabe, you better watch that ass trying to pull me early from
you
games.
You don't think that him and Jake Arrieta it's not like Gabe Kapler's this little short, like midget. Like, Gabe Kapler is an intimidating dude.
Yes. I mean, like, the man wears aviators. Those alone are intimidating.
Not only that, but, like, he's not a guy that I would want to, like, have a skins versus or shirts versus skins contest.
Sure.
Again, because
sure.
I would feel embarrassed if I was on the skins team.
You don't want to be standing next to Gabe Kapler in a shirtless beach picture.
No, absolutely
definitely
not.
Definitely don't want that.
Because you will be the butt of every end of that.
Definitely note. Don't want that. All right, just to close out here about Nola, here's some interesting numbers here. So he's faced the Braves twice already this season. However, both were at SunTrust Park. He pitches well in both games. Only 5 strikeouts, though, in 11 and a third innings. He gets 22 FanDuel points in both of those games. Now, what's interesting here, Nola's made 2 home starts this season, one against the Reds, an easy one, one against the Pirates, not exactly an easy one, but definitely a winnable one. In his 2 home starts at Citizens Bank Park this season, he's got 49 and 52 FanDuel points in those. So maybe that's what Vegas is seeing a little bit of. He was a little bit better at home last year as well, too. So the only thing that scares me about this matchup with Nola is the 1-3-5 from Atlanta with their lefties there, Inciarte, Freeman, Markakis, and the fact that they really don't strike out a lot. But, again, Vegas sees something here that they like. I would probably go Nola more on DraftKings, where keeping runners off the bases, you know, is more rewarded than for FanDuel, where it's pretty much just runs, strikeouts, innings, right. Blah blah blah.
Yeah.
All right.
Against right-handed pitching, the Braves are third in the league as far as best strikeout percentage, meaning they're not striking out a lot at all. It's 19.2% against right-handed pitching. So that's probably if. Like later on, I decide I'm not going to go with Aaron Nola. That's probably the reason why is I think like, I don't think like he has the upside in this matchup to be able to, for me to compete on the slate.
Gotcha. All right. Let's talk about 2 guys here. Now they're both facing tough lineups, but we know that they're pretty damn good themselves on the mound there. They'll be going up against each other tonight in Houston. I'm talking about Sean Manaea, Dallas Keuchel in this matchup. So I want to start with Manaea here first, because I think just when you think about this game at first, you're like, I ain't going up against the Houston Astros. Well, guess what? Sean Manaea woke up today and he's like, yeah, I'm going against the Houston Astros. He's done very well against them over the course of his career. You take a look at guys like Altuve, Springer, Correa. None of them really have good numbers against him. The only one that's really done any major damage off him is Evan Gattis. Yuli Gurriel has been able to get on base against him at a good rate. But other than that, I mean, Manaea against the Astros here, maybe not as bad as people think.
Yeah, we'll talk about the same kind of strikeout upside there. They're striking out 16.7% of the time against left-handed pitching this year. So I think I'm off Manaea. I've loved him all season long. We've talked him up. I've talked him up in the Slack channel. I've played him every single start. I think I'm off of him tonight. You got to combine the fact that, you know, obviously you can't go anywhere but down after, well, I guess you could pitch a perfect game, but I was about to say, you can't go anywhere but down after, you know, you throw a no-hitter. This isn't the greatest matchup in the world for him. I know he's got good numbers. I'm just talking about as far as strikeout upside. That means that if you think about it this way, especially on FanDuel, for every guy that, like, for every tick off of the strikeout percentage that he's facing as far as a team, that means he's got to pitch deeper into the games to be able to reach his, you know, to be able to get to that ceiling type of performance. Mm-hmm. And I just don't see it in Manaea tonight. I'm not saying he can't pitch a good game. He can still get the quality start and still possibly get the win. I'm not quite as excited about the win, but yeah. I just, you know, if he's not going to be striking out 8, 9, 10 guys, then I just don't see it tonight.
Okay, that's absolutely a fair point. What about Keuchel on the other side of this matchup? He is at home, where he's typically been much better.
Yeah, he has. And the A's strike out a ton. versus left-handed pitching.
It's Keuchel night. And, you know, it's interesting, too. Keuchel's made 5 starts this season, only one of them at home. You know, so I'm sure he's itching for another chance to get back on the mound at Minute Maid here.
Yeah, I think that if I'm going to a mid-tier type pitcher, a guy below that first top four, I think Keuchel's probably my favorite just because of the upside with the strikeout percentage that Oakland has. He's right there, probably a couple ticks right above Zach Godley. And that's, I mean, then it's pretty much value pitchers after that.
Well, let's talk about some of these because I think there are a couple interesting ones. I'm sure people want our opinion on some of these guys. So if going the value route, who's your guy there? Because I got one name. I got one name, but I want to see what you got here first.
I'm going to start with Tyler Anderson.
Okay. Same handedness as I was thinking, but not the same guy. All right.
Yeah, Marlins 135 ISO versus left-handed pitching and a 20.2 strikeout rate so far this season.
Which is interesting because they got a couple guys on the Statcast list that are pretty high up there against lefties.
Actually, I'm sorry. Hold on.
No. Dun, dun, dun. Well, the strikeout rate might be a little up. I mean, you know, they did face Clayton Kershaw. I know he didn't go crazy on the K's against them.
132 and a 21.5. So 122 or 132 ISO and a 21.5 strikeout rate. So.
And for the people out there, what's a good ISO number? Or, I guess, average?
I really start getting off of a team if they've got, like, a 180 and above. Okay. And there are a couple guys that just are teams that just suck against left-handed pitching as far as power numbers are concerned. And lo and behold, one of them is actually the hottest team in baseball right now against left-handed pitching. The White Sox.
Ooh, that's right.
So, but anyways, I mean, when you look at the Statcast numbers, I mean, Colorado pitchers are always going to have kind of inflated numbers because of, you know, them being in Coors. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to find out a way to kind of scrape Coors out of their numbers.
Oh, that'd be great.
And I haven't been able to yet as far as Statcast is concerned. But I've been working on it. That's probably the next development. But, I mean, this is a guy that he always is one of the league leaders in weak contact. You know, he's in a massive pitcher's park today. I think after Freeland and Gray just kind of had really, really good games, I think he comes out and has another good game.
Little game of follow the leader. I like
exactly,
it.
Exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, you can't really discredit it at all. I mean, I guess you could, but you really shouldn't. I mean, he just kind of shut down the Cubs in Coors, through 6 innings, got the win, only 2 walks, 6 hits. I mean, it was a really, really good performance in Coors, only allowed 2 earned runs. So, it's definitely not out of the question of possibilities, and he's under 7K. He's only 6.5. So, I like him. I also really...
Let it out.
Drew Pomerantz is making his second start of the season.
Pom-pom.
Please tell me this was the guy you were talking about.
No. Actually, the other one on this side of the matchup. Blake Snell. Yes. Now... Hear the man. So, Snell's looked fantastic. First of all, I love Snell coming into this season. I got him on both of my season-long fantasy teams. He's rewarded me heavily by picking him in one of the last rounds here. But now you look at his first two starts this season, one against the same Red Sox, one against the Yankees. Both of those really didn't work out well. But you take a look at his numbers over the last three games. The guy's stuff is just electric. Now, I know he's facing lesser competition in these games either, but let's think about some of these lefties that the Red Sox have faced over the last week or so. Saturday, don't forget, they get no hit by Sean Manaea. They face Jay Happ up in Toronto, at the first game of that series. Jay Happ absolutely shuts down the Red Sox. Now, I know that they're getting Xander Bogaerts back in the lineup tonight. That's all good and dandy. But, again, I think, especially – for everybody that's going to be playing Xander Bogaerts out there, I think Snell could be pretty sneaky. You're probably going to get him under 1% ownership, but this is a guy who just – I've been watching here over the last couple of games, and his stuff is fantastic. So I think it's not a bad option for GVPs. If you don't feel like getting so drastic with it, Miles Mikolas of the Redbirds right now, he's actually got a whip right there, right even dead on at one. Great pitcher's park for him to pitch in tonight against the Pirates. I haven't taken a look at the StatCast data here, but he's like all the way down on the bottom of the research station. But again, this is another guy who I've just had my eyes on watching, saying, you know what? I like the way that this guy throws.
Yeah. We got to watch out for weather on this one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Son of a bitch. Well, that's
which is gonna put a whole wreck on the slate, because if this game is gonna be lower owned because of weather, that's gonna make Xander Bogaerts lower owned, and then it's like, what the?
Well, hold up. Which one had the weather? Was that in Boston? Or
Boston.
In
Pittsburgh? All right,
I gotta say
90%. This is according to. And there's a conversation going on our weather channel right now because of it. This is according to some of the numbers that I'm seeing.
All right. See, all right. What I got
the
here is
the beginning part of the game. Now, from what I'm gathering is if Boston was smart, they would start the game in a delay and then wait for everything to clear and then play later.
Yeah, that's the model I'm looking at. It says like rain pretty much all day leading up to 7 o'clock. 7 o'clock, I see a 40% chance of rain. And then after that, it's just overcast. So that's what I was looking at. That's why I really didn't worry about it too much. And yeah, luckily, the Red Sox are making enough money that they can afford a tarp on the field. So I think things are going to be okay at Fenway.
But is the drainage good enough?
If they got enough money for a good tarp, I mean, just imagine the drainage and the irrigation system that they got at Fenway. I've been to Fenway. Damn good park, man.
I want to go to Fenway.
They have a beer sold on the Green Monster called Green Monster. How do you like that?
There you go. Indeed. So, anyways, yeah, I mean, if you want to know some of the numbers that the Red Sox have had against left-handed pitching, they're not pretty at all. 249 WOBA, 7.8 ISO. That's a .078. Striking out 23.8% of the time, and a WRC plus against left-handed pitching of a 5.1. That's 51. That's
right. Xander Bogaerts has been out for about almost 3 weeks now. So yeah. That certainly hurts those numbers right there. But again, it's his first game back, so whatever. Let's pray for some rustiness on that man.
Yeah, let's put it this way. If you're not playing Xander Bogaerts in a lineup, or if you're not going to play Xander Bogaerts in a lineup, you might want to put Blake Snell in on FanDuel in some GPPs, because he's got the upside. The question is can his offense get to Pomerantz enough to maximize his value? So
yeah. By the way, I was just trying to see who was pitching for the Giants tonight, because the Dodgers have just been so pitiful with the bats. But Derek Holland, that seems even a little too risky for me.
Yeah, that's a can't get right game. That's a slump buster game.
All right. All right.
Even in AT&T.
That does it for the pitching here tonight. So don't forget. I believe Mitch is doing the pitching article today, right?
I think so. Yes.
All right, so Endell got the weekend off, so I believe Mitch going to step in with those pitching articles, so definitely look out for that today. Hopefully we share the same sentiments, but we shall see. All right, let's talk about some stacks here today that look appealing right off the bat.
there aren't a lot.
Oh, come on. You got to be creative. Do you want me to begin?
Please.
All right. So, I got two game stacks that I like this evening. We got the Detroit Tigers, Baltimore Orioles. Obviously, one side of that, you got Chris Tillman going for the Orioles. I mean, he's got a slate worst stat cast, you know, number window, whatever the hell. He's not very good at pitching baseballs. So that's going to be good for the Tigers. These guys had a couple of good games here last week or the week before, I believe, in Detroit. So we could be seeing plenty more offense again today. And then Cincinnati and Minnesota, both these guys have an implied run total right around five. Going to have Phil Hughes on the mound for the Minnesota Twins tonight. Luis Castillo going for the Cincinnati Reds, which we didn't even mention in the pitching, but – you know, if he can keep up the strikeout numbers, maybe he takes advantage of a Minnesota team that just had their hearts broken yesterday. So, I don't know. I mean, you know, that's the kind of GPP way of thinking. You got to think here on a big slate like this, but, you know, if the numbers are any indication, I think Minnesota should be fine with the bats, but if you want to put that human element into it, maybe they're just a little woozy from yesterday still.
Yeah, I'll follow that up with two teams that you probably really don't stack a lot on, Chicago White Sox and Texas Rangers. They're probably two of my favorite stacks of the night. I was all over Chicago last night. Statcast numbers are not friendly to other than the fact that Marcus Stroman is a ground ball pitcher, and that's all he pretty much does is get a ton of ground balls. They're not kind to him. They're also not kind to Mr. Danny Duffy at all either. In fact, they're probably, because of the difference in launch angle, they're probably a lot different for or a lot worse for Danny Duffy considering not Marcus Stroman. So I am going straight back to Chicago tonight. I don't care if it's versus a left-handed pitching. Probably that will probably just mean I'm not on Yoan Moncada as much. He'll probably fall to probably fifth or sixth in the lineup, but I will definitely
make sure,
especially if Jose Abreu is back in that lineup. I will have I will have some exposure there.
Now, when we were talking about the pitching options, I don't know if you maybe we got the games mixed up. Now Pittsburgh has a little bit of rain. It's like chance of a thunderstorm all night, chance of rain. So it's right around that 35 kind of 50% mark right there. So again, we'll keep an update on that. However, if they do play, I know the Cardinals aren't in a great hitting park for righties, but their Statcast numbers against left-handed pitching right now are the things that legends are made of. You've got Yadi Molina, the unluckiest hitter in all of baseball right now against left-handed pitching. He's only got a wOBA up there at about 278 against lefties, which, again, it sucks. But, I mean, you take a look at, you know, everything else. Like, if it weren't for fielders, this guy would be doing fantastic. So he's certainly an option. You've got Tommy Pham on there, who his numbers are just – they should be good. And guess what? They are good against left-handed pitching. He's like a top 10 hitter in the league right now in that regard against lefties. Paul DeJong, another guy there. You know what's interesting is that – so this guy, Stephen Brault, going for the Pirates tonight – he reminds me a lot of Steven Matz. He's probably a Steven Matz with maybe not as much velocity, but kind of gets by on, you know, pitch placement and whatnot. But the Cardinals absolutely destroyed Steven Matz. They did it the other night. They did it the first time that they played him. And this guy Brault, I watched him pitch against the Phillies on Saturday. He had a pretty good game. It's just the bullpen gave up his win, but he left two guys on base, and Rhys Hoskins ended up homering. But, again, I just think that the Cardinals are way too good against left-handed pitching to pass this up. So maybe like a Tommy Pham, DeJong. I wouldn't go on with a full game stack just because of the stadium. But, you know, Pham, DeJong, Molina, certainly appealing against lefties.
Oh, yeah. Yep. They sure are.
And one thing, too, with my Phillies, too. If that money line isn't for Aaron Nola, I'm interested to see if maybe some of these bats can get it going. But I'm, again, not a full game stack for the Phillies, but Christ on the cross, man. Carlos Santana twice again in that last series, nearly homers. He hit the top of the fence in right field on what was that, Wednesday night, and then yesterday I know he hit that little waist high fence in center field yesterday. The guy's absolutely crushing the ball. Finally, some doubles are falling in there for him, but he's got a good chance to do well against Tehran. And then again, too, if this money line is looking good, I think that can mean good things for Cesar Hernandez, who's just been an on-base machine early on this season for the Phillies. And Odubel Herrera isn't cheap either. Or I'm sorry, he's not expensive either. So those are, you can do maybe like a 1-2-3 stack at the top, maybe a 1-3, 1-2, something like that. But I think both of those guys are in good spots tonight against Tehran.
Yeah, I agree. I'm not shy against picking on Julio Tehran.
All right. Let us get into some of these positions. We'll begin with catcher. I'll just lead it off real quick. I remember I was just talking about Yadi Molina. Again, on FanDuel, we don't have to play the catcher. I don't recommend using Molina in PNC Park there in Pittsburgh. But if you got to use it on DraftKings, I think that's certainly a way to go. Like I said, the Cardinals are doing pretty well against left-handed pitching, so there could very well be some ducks on the pond for Molina when he's hitting. That's RBI opportunities. That's pretty damn good for me.
Yep, I'll take that.
All right. Who else do you like here, catcher?
Oh, man. It's not fun, but I will – Beef Castillo, Wellington, yep. Castillo, in case you don't know nicknames, 2,400. He's probably going to find himself in the middle of that Chicago White Sox lineup against the lefty, probably even as high as 3 or 4. I will probably have a lot of him when I'm going against catchers. Yasmani Grandal against Derek Holland. I usually like my Grandal versus left-handed versus,
that's how I like my Grandal.
versus right-handed pitchers as far as power is concerned. But, you know, he's definitely got the pop from the left side or the right side of the plate as well.
He's done it before. Not often, but he has done it before.
In the same game.
Indeed.
So, Devin Mesoraco, if he finds his way into the upper half of that lineup at 2K, then I might have some interest in him as well.
All right. We did not touch on probably one of the more obvious ones, but Gary Sanchez going up against the lefty.
Nah, he's a straight fade for me.
Oh, really?
Yes. After what he did yesterday on a day slate where people can go back and they can watch it and all this other stuff, he's going to be I think he's going to be over-owned tonight, and I'll take the chances on Gary Sanchez tonight.
Now, you say over-owned, but again, we know the connotation here with catchers on FanDuel. They just don't garner a lot of ownership.
Yeah, but he's a Yankee. He's a Yankee that has pop. Like,
he does. And, you know, he had such a bad start to the season. Now he's finally coming.
And he's hot. Own. Exactly.
Oh, my God. 478 Wolba against left-handed pitching this season. My goodness, Gary. Okie dokie. The two Giants catchers going up against the lefty and Ryu tonight. I mean, again, not the greatest ballpark, but it could be interesting. And then I found this number pretty interesting on the StatCast sheet. Christian Vasquez. Now, I did say that I like Blake Snell tonight, but this is worth mentioning. His 90.9 mile per hour exit velocity against left-handed pitching is highest in all of the majors this season.
Yes, it is.
Very interesting.
He's hitting the ball hard.
Yes. Jesus Jesus Aguilar is number two, actually, in exit velo against lefties.
Oh, my God. It sucks because I know what should be happening with this dude, and it's just not. And it does suck. He's going to bust out, and I just can't. He's just not doing it yet. And it sucks so bad.
Well, hey, you know, and look at it, you know, I certainly think that, you know, they're really, like, ever since we started looking at the StatCast data, obviously, you know, me and you, we've just been straight guys watching baseball games, picking out things that we see. And, you know, let's be honest, it's very tough to watch 15 baseball games a night. So I feel like, you know, this StatCast data is putting a number and kind of You know, just saying, hey, who's touching the baseball, you know? And this is a lot more important. I've been watching a lot of these guys that we've been picking out here on the StatCast data sheet. If they're not getting you any fantasy points, they're damn near it, my friends. Like, these guys are just crushing balls to the gap, and guess what? They're not falling. But, I mean, it's funny now that I look back on how I used information for MLB DFS over the last three seasons, and I'm like, oh yeah, let's actually look at how guys are hitting the ball now. So
exactly.
Pay attention, folks. That was the main point of what I was just saying. All right, we all good with catchers here?
Yep.
Good. All right. They're just supposed to catch pitchers' baseballs anyway. Let's talk about first baseman there. Over there on the corner of the side of the field. Who are we looking at here at the top today?
I mean,
I don't even know. By the way, I don't even know what I was trying to say about first baseman there. But go. I had one thought, and then it went somewhere else, and whatever.
For me, it's actually a couple guys. I've already mentioned Jose Abreu. You mentioned Carlos Santana. Yeah. Those are two guys at the top of my list. Obviously, you've got Freddie Freeman, who I've mentioned as far as his BVP versus Aaron Nola. Joey Votto, who's probably one of the hotter hitters in baseball right now. Always like the double dong potential of a Joey Gallo. Unfortunately, he is not cheap in the Rogers Center right now. $3,700.
That's what he was at home. His price has been coming up a little bit here over the last week. I think like he started.
Yeah, but I can go get
anyway. He was at like $3,100.
Yeah, but like Jose Abreu's 38, Carlos Santana's 32, Edwin's 35. I mean, Lucas Duda right now is 24, and Wilmer Flores against Mr. Clayton Richard or Richard.
I believe it's Richard.
He's, what is it, 3-for-5 with 2 home runs against him?
2-for-5, 3-for-5, one of the two. But yeah. He's got 2 homers. That we can agree.
That's
on.
All that matters.
Yes.
And very, very, like, that's BVP. That's Kiki Hernandez versus Madison Bumgarner type BVP there.
I feel stupid. I've been doing this a lot early on this season when I do my notes. Like, usually
2-for-5, two home runs, 2 RBIs, and a walk. 0 strikeouts.
Like, Wilmer Flores would typically be at third base, and I'm like, wait a minute, I know I wrote him down today. Yeah, he's at third base. I did that with Nick Castellanos last week, and he went bananas, but I had him in the wrong position. So, sorry, folks. Sorry. And that was a day where it was last Saturday, actually, where, like, Matty Carpenter was going up against Bailey with the ridiculous BVP, and somebody else was on the slate, too. You're like, oh, yeah, you know.
Matt Adams.
Yeah, unreal. So,
yeah, Wilmer Flores is also in there. And don't sleep. What would you – if I told you that CJ Cron was one of the hotter hitters in baseball, had, like, 4 home runs over the last 8 or 9 games, what would you tell me his – what would you say his price should be?
I mean, if CJ Cron's going to be one of the hotter hitters, I believe we got to start the bidding at $4,000.
He's $3,300.
Yeah, that'll do.
It is against Drew Pomeranz. It is right-handed, so he's got that ability to kind of just lift and separate and go again, or try to just pull one over the green monster. So, yeah, that'll do.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what's funny, too? You got Brad Miller, who you'd think, oh, man, why are we even talking lefty-lefty here? 10-for-19 with 4 extra base hits, one being a homer over the course of his career against Drew Pomeranz.
Yeah, he's typically a guy that actually hits lefties pretty well. So
he's actually pretty good against the Red Sox in general, Brad Miller. So we got to think about it. And then one of the guys, I didn't see him yet. I'm sure if I dig, he'll be on there. But Yonder Alonso. I know, yeah, I mean, he's one of the better StatCast guys here, but, you know, he's got good numbers there, and he's also 6-of-9 with 2 extra base hits in his career against Erasmo Ramirez, so don't mind that there. I like that CJ Cron one right there, Keith. That's nice. Mm-hmm. That's nice. All right, so we got those guys out there. Let's see here. Tyler Austin also, if we're looking at cheap guys here, him against lefties, not a bad maneuver there. Matt Adams looking pretty good here. And, you know, it's crazy. What do you like? I know Joe Mauer, like, never has any power whatsoever, but the guy just, all he does is get on base. And
yeah, he'll
he'll be playing Cincinnati tonight. I'm sure he's going to be on base more than a few times.
He's pretty good at hitting a baseball.
Yes, incredibly good. And then, yeah, that was all I had there for first base.
There you go.
All right. All right, let's go to second base here. A couple decent options here. But who do you place higher than above all?
I want to say Jose Altuve facing a lefty, but he is 4,200. Ozzie Albies is 4,100. Like, just fathom that right now. Ozzie Albies is $4,100 as a second baseman.
Well, that's what happens when you got some of the best numbers in baseball.
I know. If Whit Merrifield's back in that lineup for the Kansas City Royals, then I really do like him tonight. Scooter Gennett, if he's in that three or that four hole, he's going to be in play. Matt Carpenter, obviously he's going to be in play. Like, it's just your normal guys. Like I said, I wouldn't pay $3,900 for Yoan Moncada in a lot of lineups. Just because he's going to be facing that lefty, and really what you're doing is you're hoping that you get the positive platoon splits later on in the game, mm-hmm. Or that he walks and he gets on base and he steals a couple bases and, you know, scores a couple runs or, you know, just gets a hit. But I don't see the power coming.
Philly power?
I'm sitting here looking at him.
With the money line that Vegas set out, it looks like there's going to be Philly success tonight. And Cesar Hernandez is interesting, and I call him an on base machine, and it's hysterical because it's like, yeah, he's an on base machine when he gets on base. But it's funny. It's like he has these games where he does literally nothing or everything. Like, he'll get you nearly like 30 fantasy points. And again, I think that tonight is going to be one of those games. Vegas kind of laid it out. Total even went up on the game as well. I think Philly's going to have a lot of success at the top of that lineup tonight. So there's certain days that you can use Cesar. Today, definitely one of them.
Yeah, and if you haven't been paying attention, DJ LeMahieu moved up from the two-hole to the one-hole. Now, it doesn't make a huge bit of difference, but he's in front of guys like Nolan and Charlie now. He's going to get on base a lot, and he's going to be scoring a lot more runs with those two guys hitting behind him now. And he's going to kind of be getting more pitches to hit. I think this is a good move. I've always kind of liked Charlie in that leadoff spot, but, you know, Charlie has proven that he can hit at any part of the order. So, if he's got that ability, then, I mean, 3,700 going against Jose Urena is not a bad choice.
No, and I definitely wanted to, have some Rockies in my lineup tonight against Urena. But you remember, Urena's troubles really come against left-handed hitters. But
that's fine. We got a plethora of them that we can roll out too. But
yeah,
DJ can still hit.
No, I know he's got one of the better stat cast numbers. He's got one of the better stat cast numbers against right-handed pitching this season for a second baseman. So
current Rocky or Jose Urena has allowed. Can you guess how many home runs he's allowed to current Rockies?
Six.
Dang, good guess.
Yeah. Dang. Damn.
Two to Nolan, one to Cargo, who won't be in there. One to Trevor, none to Charlie, one to Iannetta, one to Parra, who's going to be back tonight. So, yeah, it looks like it's going to be a lefty stack with Nolan.
Nice. Okay. All right. A couple short-term BVP numbers here. Jason Kipnis, 5 of 12, 3 extra base hits with 2 homers against Erasmo Ramirez. Indians looking good here early on in the day. And then also another Met to go up against Clayton Richard is Drubal Cabrera, 7 for 13 with 4 extra base hits against Clayton Richard. No walks and no strikeouts either.
Yeah, the question is if you're going to attack Mr. Clayton – is are you going to do it with or without Yoenis?
Mm.
And we'll get to that a little bit later on. But that's really the question that you're going to have to make, because you're probably going to see Wilmer Flores in that three or four hole. Todd Frazier has really good history sure. against Clayton, and so does Asdrubal. So it's probably going to be like Asdrubal and then Asdrubal, Wilmer, and then Frazier at 3-4-5 with Yoenis at number two. The question is do you want to have Yoenis in that stack, or do you want to just leave it at those three guys?
Indeed. Here's another interesting option, Starlin Castro. Now, I know we're not going to get much power out of the guy, but have you seen the numbers against left-handed pitching? Zoftic.
I have not.
Now, again, I really don't like Starlin for his pop or, you know, anything like that. I really like the guy to get on base. You know, and that's all that I wanted in that regard. And then Devin Travis, he's got very interesting Statcast numbers against lefties. And I mentioned it the other day, and I remember I kind of got laughed off by you guys. And he ended up homer in, I think it was last night. But against lefties, he actually has some really elite Statcast data. He's actually got one of the higher exit velos against lefties in MLB. The numbers indicate too that Devin Travis.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So he's actually been very unlucky in terms of other hitters out there.
Again, didn't he have a key hit against Sale last night?
I know he homered. So
I don't know if that was against Sale or not, though.
Oh, okay, all right. So yeah, I don't know if it was either. I didn't get to see the game, but too, Travis, he's going to be next to nothing owned. That's the appealing part about him. He's really cheap. Probably going to be hitting at the bottom of that order too. But again, not a bad GPP option at all.
Yep, I kind of agree with you.
All right, let's go to third baseman here. It really sucks that Travis Shaw is on the daytime slate today, because that man is raking baseballs. But if not him, could it be another Matt Davidson at Kauffman Stadium day?
He likes hitting against the Royals, doesn't he?
Sure does. Not only against the Royals, but in Kansas City. Must be a huge barbecue fanatic. So five of his
great
seven
barbecue,
homers,
by the way. Great barbecue.
Indeed. I've never had it, but I can only imagine. It looks delicious on the Travel Channel. Five of Davidson's seven homers this season have come at Kauffman Stadium. If you remember, he had three on opening day against those. And do you remember who the opening day pitcher was for the Royals?
Danny Duffy.
Hey, you know who's on the mound tonight?
Danny Duffy.
Bingo.
Some of the worst Statcast numbers as far as starters on tonight's slate?
I have a feeling you're going to say Danny Duffy.
Danny Duffy.
Indeed.
You know who had some of the worst Statcast numbers on the slate last night?
Who's that?
Jacob Junis.
Oh, he's a Royals pitcher.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now you see why I was so high on the White Sox last night.
Indeed. So, you know what's pretty funny here, too, is that I knew that Davidson homered last night. I didn't realize he homered twice last night.
Yes, he did.
So
I had him in a lot of lineups.
That's pretty awesome. So, yeah, certainly a nice option there. 3,400 on FanDuel. Not much at all. Davidson only hitting 225 this season.
He's going to make me think about fading a guy who went double dong the night before. Let's just put it that way. He's got to make me think about it because of the history, because of everything we've just said. He is making me think about it. Normally, my hard and fast rule is you hit two home runs the night before, I'm fading you the next night, because usually you're not going to hit two home runs the next night. Your ownership has gone up because of all the chasers. Everybody's so afraid, and they think that once you hit two home runs in a game, you're all of a sudden just magically hot.
The one exception to that rule has been Mookie Betts. Remember the night he hit three?
Oh no,
in Baltimore,
it wasn't. It wasn't.
And then hit two the next night.
It wasn't an exception to the rule. I didn't play Mookie Betts, and I got waxed that night. But now I just play Mookie Betts in Baltimore because he just loves hitting there.
Oh yeah, there's something about the Baltimore air for Betts. There's something about the KC air for Matt Davidson. I mean, there's something there. All right, so we've got him now. One of those incredible chalk situations that we could perhaps see tonight is on FanDuel at the third base position. Eugenio Suarez.
Eugenio.
Eugenio. Soros for the Cincinnati Reds, going to be in Minnesota tonight facing Phil Hughes. Yeah, so Suarez is dead minimum over there on FanDuel.
Was dead minimum yesterday as well.
Dead minimum yesterday as well. I didn't really play. I didn't play at all yesterday, so I had no idea. But yeah, what's the deal here? How does this get handled?
Well, if you're playing Eugenio Suarez and you're fading guys like Nolan Arenado, you're fading guys like Alex Bregman, Todd Frazier, Mike Moustakas, Miguel Sano, Jose Ramirez. So you have to take this all into consideration. Matt Davidson, Rafael Devers. You have to take this all into consideration. Okay. Now, let's just go ahead because we can kind of segue into it as well. Xander Bogaerts is also 2K.
Yes.
And in cash games, you can legit make a case for pairing both of those guys up with DeGrom and, you know, paying $4,000 to offset, you know, Jacob DeGrom's price. And then you can go get bats elsewhere. Here's the issue that I have. And that's probably the smart move in tournament or in cash games. Especially with Xander Bogaerts, because Eugenio Suarez is a good baseball player, but he's not Xander Bogaerts.
He is in one of the higher totals of the night, though.
He is. I will have some exposure to these guys because I don't think that you can completely fade them at all unless you're just making like one lineup like you do.
Yeah.
And then you just have to, you're looking to gain your leverage somewhere else.
Absolutely. As I said,
gain as much leverage as possible because it is baseball and you can go 0-for-5 with 3 strikeouts.
It's Xander Bogaerts against the world as far as I'm concerned.
Here's the issue, though. If either one of them have a good day, you're done.
Yeah, absolutely.
And as long as you know that, as long as you know that and you come to terms with that and you don't let it affect your decision making, if you're scared to play in tournaments without a lineup without Xander Bogaerts, just don't play tournaments tonight.
Great advice.
Like if you're scared to not have Eugenio Suarez and Xander Bogaerts in your lineup, then just don't play them. Because I will say there's about a 60% chance that the winning lineup and most of these higher dollar GPPs tonight do not have one, if not both.
Yeah. Here's my way of thinking of it, and I'm sure that I'm probably going to rope some people in with me in this way of thinking that, you know what, it's hard. Like I play to win, like, single-entry tournaments and, like, you know, to play to win these 49, man. I'm not playing to just get them in cash on there. If I wanted to do that, I'd play cash games. But you got to think of it from the perspective of trying to win a tournament, like come in first place, I mean. Like, think about how hard it is. Like, every single thing has to go right in your favor. So why not take this one chance here on a guy like – I'm going to say, like, Bogaerts will probably be more expensive than Suarez just because it's Bogaerts. It's a matchup against the lefty. He's a Red Sox player. Like, of course he's going to garner, like, near 100% ownership. But, you just have to think about it that way. Like, if Xander Bogaerts gets a zero tonight – think about the leg up that you're going to have on pretty much all of the competition, right? Like, it's amazing to think about what or how much success you can have if he has a zero, because guess how many people are going to be playing in their lineup with a zero if Xander Bogaerts doesn't do shit tonight? Like,
yeah, now
damn near 80 to 90%.
Now, you've also got to think about it this way. That zero, if you're 40, if you play Mike Trout instead – like, if that's your 1v1 or whatever you want to call it, and he puts up a zero, their zero costs a lot less. But in that same aspect, if you go play, say, give me another
Manny Machado.
I was going to say Danny Valencia.
Okay.
If you play Danny Valencia instead, who honestly could have a good game.
4 for 11, two dongs, all fires. Yeah.
For $200 more, there's one of your pivots. If Bogaerts or Suarez take a zero, Valencia gets a hits a bong or hits a bong hits a dong, then
well, if he hits a bong, he ain't getting any points. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, if
don't bong and play baseball, folks.
Yeah, no kidding. If Valencia hits a home run and those two get zero, guess what? There's your edge. Yeah. And it can happen. Like, yep. This isn't basketball where just because you're on the court and you're getting the opportunity, it's going to lead to, like, this is why I don't care about salary in baseball. Like, all the salary cap does is tell me the maximum amount of money I'm allowed to spend. Like, that's all it does. Like, if a guy's in a good spot, I don't care. I'm going to play him.
Yeah, you got to think about it. It's like having a shopping spree. Like, yeah, it'd be great to spend all the money, but sometimes you probably don't have to, you know?
Exactly. But if a guy's like, you know, if a guy's going to be 60% owned and you're afraid to fade the dude, just don't play that night. Like,
or just play cash games.
Or yeah, just go play cash games. Like, And we know, like, my threshold is 35% to 40% in tournaments. You tell me somebody, if I'm doing my normal style of play, which is around 5 to 7 lineups, you know, sprinkled out through all sorts of contests, and, like, yeah, I'm going to have Xander Bogaerts and Eugenio Suarez in a couple, you know, but it's not like I'm afraid to, but I'm going to have it, like, one is going to be my cash game lineup, and then I'll probably have them in, like, one or two more. But, like, it's not like I'm not afraid to play them. I'm, like, if you tell me that somebody's going to be 35 to 40% owned, like, they're automatically on the consideration for fade, no matter who it is.
Oh, yeah.
Like, this is baseball. You fail more times than you succeed, and I don't care. Even if Xander Bogaerts and Eugenio Suarez go out and get, like, 3.2 a piece or 3 a piece, they both get hit by a pitch or a walk and do nothing else.
Oh my God. Imagine they get a fastball to the wrist first at bat.
Oh, exactly. Like this isn't even, it's, you fail more times than you succeed. And it's, if,
yeah, no, hey, look, we laid out the map for how it could work. And look, I'm going to be very transparent about this. I know the risk in not running either guy out there, but guess what? Tonight, that's how I'm doing it. I'm going without Bogaerts, and I'm going without Suarez, and I know that thing. Going in.
Here's the thing, is Suarez is probably going to be less owned than Bogaerts. So you might even be able to get some leverage saying, all right, I'm going to fade I'm going to fade Xander, and I'm going to eat chalkiness a little bit by playing Eugenio Suarez. And you know what? There's your straight pivot. Because now, if somebody, and understand this, if they both go deep tonight and if you get like 36 points out of 4K, then yeah, obviously it's a move that's going to hurt you. It doesn't mean it was the wrong move. Now, if you fade them in cash, I just think you're downright crazy and stupid. Like, but that doesn't mean that it was the wrong move in tournaments if you fade them.
Nah, like, not at all. You got to think too, right? Like, Bogaerts, he hasn't seen a major league pitch in, what, 3 weeks? There's certainly for there. And again, too, as I said earlier in the chat that we had with all our MLB staff, I mean, Snell is not some shitbag pitcher. Like, he's pretty damn good, you know? So the opportunity for Bogaerts' upside is certainly going to be limited, I would think. I mean, granted, you know, he's probably going to face the Tampa Bay bullpen at some point in this game. That's a plus. That's something that I got to live with. But I'm comfortable with Snell. I think he's a good enough pitcher to make this not work for Bogaerts.
I mean, yeah.
Let me at him. Let me at him.
Hey, what kind of history do they have? Let's see here.
That I don't know. But I tell you one thing, and let's segue off of both of these guys, because
Xander Bogaerts. You want to guess what his
3 for 27 with 12 strikeouts.
0 for 11.
Oh, that's great. That's great. So what, he's due?
Oh my God. You just got the Picard, like, He's 0 for 11 with three strikeouts.
That's great. And you know what's hysterical is that, well, no, actually, yes, because you know what? All of these at-bats were probably when Snell wasn't
sucked.
The guy that he is now. Yeah. I mean, earlier this season, I think Snell was becoming that, but what? That's only what? 2-3 at-bats? Yeah, that's – oh, man, that's outstanding right there. That's good news. Yeah. More Snell. More Snell for all. Good to hear. All right, let's – I wanted to segue off the guys because one of the reasons I think it's pretty easy to come off of Bogarts tonight, Manny Machado is in the lineup. Now, here's another interesting lineup construction is that people immediately dismiss Machado. I don't know. Maybe you go with both of these guys. I can even see that in a cash game. But – my thing here, I gotta go Machado. Hottest hitter in baseball right now, facing a Tigers team that, you know, look, let's be honest, they're giving up runs. I really like Machado in this sense, especially when everybody's gonna be paying down to go to Bogarts.
Yeah, let's just give everybody an example of kind of how we mean as far as them being chalky.
Okay.
And our the DS actually likes the Domination Station actually likes Eugenio Suarez better than Xander Bogarts.
I like
that. Suarez was in 100% of lineups. I just made 10, did three uniques. Al's lovely 10-3
rule. I've actually modified and gone up to 20.
Well, I mean, we can do that real quick.
I'm sorry you did not get that memo, but...
We can do that real quick. Okay. I mean, you want to just take it a step further and just emphasize the point and just take it all the way up to 50?
Yeah, you know what? You know what?
About 30 seconds.
You know what I found with doing the 20 is that I think it highlights more, like, the pitcher more. You know, like, if they're in 20-20, obviously that's great. But you don't see as many hitters get put into 20 of those when you do that. So, yeah, I think it creates more of an elite group at the top than it would with 10.
I mean, I could see that.
That's
Eugenio Suarez is going to be in 100% of lineups.
Very nice.
And Xander Bogarts has dropped all the way down to 66%.
Look at that. Look at that. The DS knows, folks. The DS knows. All right. So, yes, we've got Machado there at shortstop. That's who I really like. On the slate today. One other guy I just wanted to mention here, Tim Anderson, 8 for 22 with a homer against Duffy. 447 WOBA for Timmy Anderson against left-handed pitching this season.
Mm-hmm.
I like it. Okay. Anybody else here at shortstop worth mentioning? I mean, I feel like we only talked about one person.
Jose Peraza, if he's at the top part of that order, hitting in front of Joey Votto. You know, I think he's in a pretty good spot tonight. Trey Turner's facing a righty.
Oh, he is. Very nice. Very nice. Zach Godley. Godley, the ground ball god. Him and freaking Stroman. But, I mean, that's tough. I think Godley's a fantastic pitcher. Not exactly the guy that I want to pick on, but...
Trey Turner's an elite talent, though.
But we know Trey against righties. That's the only time he does anything.
Yep. I mean, if you want to take a chance on, I think Trevor Story's a little bit overpriced right now. But if you're wanting to attack Jose Urena, you kind of can. Trevor Story is one of the hottest hitters in baseball right now. And then I've got a little bit of interest in your boy, especially if he's in the top five of that order, Scott Kingery.
Ooh. Okay. Can I get you off Kingery?
Sure.
I just don't like the way he's been at his plate appearances lately. He looks very uncomfortable.
Okay.
That's all
you had to say.
No, I was going to say he came into the season doing very well, but he is really struggling with plate vision right now. So maybe J.P. Crawford, though. Maybe a little wraparound stack if you want to go with the Phils. Maybe something like that will work. I don't mind that. One guy that popped up to me, and I wanted to throw shade on one guy and then throw praise on another. The praise was for Francisco Lindor. Bit unlucky so far with the Statcast data. We've already talked about a couple Cleveland Indians today that have good numbers against Erasmo Ramirez. So Lindor can get on base for those guys. You know, maybe come around to score. I don't mind that play right there. And then I wanted to throw shade at the hottest hitter in baseball, Didi Gregorius. Did you know all of his homers so far this season have come at Yankee Stadium?
Yeah, they've all come to the poolside too.
Yes, and yeah, I think his whole career. I don't think he's hit one homer that hasn't been a pull. But
he did. He used to play in Arizona. So
All right. So maybe it was as a Yankee, because I do remember them saying he didn't have any non-pull. But the thing about Gregorius that I want to say is that most, like, I think a lot of people know by now that his numbers against left-handed pitching are pretty good. They might be pretty good, but I don't think he's going to end up homering, in this situation. LA a little harder to homer. Now, there is one other Yankee out there that I like tonight, which we'll talk about in the next section, that I do like for homering tonight. We should just segue, correct?
Yeah, go ahead.
Let's do it. Aaron Judge, my favorite player of the entire night tonight. Since 2017, I'm just going to rattle off some numbers for you against left-handed pitching for Aaron Judge. A 462 on base percentage, 992 OPS, and the WOBA at a very zoftic 418. That is against left-handed pitching since 2017. One of the things I like here about, and one of the things I really liked about Trout after finding this out, I didn't even know until the beginning of the season, or until the season started, but in Anaheim Stadium there in right center field, I don't know if you remember, they have that really high wall out there. Well, what they've done is they've brought the height down for what is actually a homer on that wall. So Aaron Judge, a guy that is just incredible at taking the ball oppo field, I would not be surprised if a homer or two he gets just because of that new dimension that they have out there in right field.
It's not like he needed help.
Yeah, the main point here for Aaron Judge, though, is that he's going up against left-handed pitching, not a situation that he's just done absolutely well in. I mean, the numbers already against lefties are pretty damn good, but, you know, just to show a bit more of a range, they're pretty awesome since the start of last season as well.
I'll see your Aaron Judge, and I'll take your Mookie Betts.
Okay.
And J.D. Martinez.
Okay.
And Charlie Blackman. J.D. Martinez is 4K.
Yeah.
Like, I'll fade me some Aaron Judge and go to some of these other higher price guys. J.D. Martinez is 4K. And I understand, you know, Blake Snell and everything like that. But if I'm going to take a shot on somebody against Blake Snell, who we have obviously shown our admiration and love for on this podcast today, it's going to be with a guy like J.D. Martinez, who has traditionally killed left-handed pitching and can lift and separate and put one over the wall. I mean, the dude you talk about somebody trying to quote-unquote acclimate into a higher market with higher pressure, like, the dude done acclimated. He's done. He's acclimated, he's home, he's comfortable, and he is raking. You combine him with Mookie Betts, and that is a very, very, very good way to start your lineup.
Yeah, I know that he doesn't have the death taxes and J.D. Martinez against lefties kind of numbers as the past. But yes, absolutely, especially that price that you talk about, that is certainly a way that you should go. Numbers indicate that he's been a little unlucky this season. The 302 WOBA against lefties isn't that great, but again, we know that the capabilities that this guy has against left-handed pitching. I was watching something the other day talking about him taking the ball the opposite way. Always a good sign for a hitter when they can do that.
And do it with power.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, I have a lot of respect for right-handers that can hit homers to right field like lefties do. I mean, it's such an unnatural way of hitting a baseball, but I mean, yeah, you gotta have love for that.
They let the ball get deep and travel.
What do you mean? Oh, with that, I got you. I thought you were bringing up a stat or something.
No, I was gonna say, here you go, just ran 20 lineups in the domination station. Aaron Judge is in how many?
I feel like you're trying to prove a point here to me. So two?
Zero.
Whatever, that thing doesn't know anything.
We just gave it praise, and not because
it doesn't work in my favor, it doesn't know anything.
Yeah, just to give you an idea, though, Charlie's only in one.
I'm interested.
And Mookie, and Mookie's in none. So
I'm interested to see what Stanton's price was today. I mean, not that I'm
4,800?
Coming off.
I'm sorry, 4,700.
Okay, 47, and Judge is at what?
51.
My goodness. Well, you know, we'll find some relief somewhere along the lines. All right, we got a lot of outfielders to talk about. Looking at Bryce Harper right now. I mean, he's still got elite Statcast data against righties, but you want to take that chance against a ground ball pitcher like Godley? Not sure.
I don't know. I wouldn't mind it, especially with the left-hander. He gets that barrel in the bottom of the zone on one of those tumbling sinkers, and it could, you know, he can get under it enough to put it out, especially if the temperature is over 70 degrees there in Washington.
Dig it.
I mean, Teoscar Hernandez is absolutely just murdering the baseball right now. Trey Mancini's back. Not sure his knee's quite healthy, but he is back. Steve Pierce is in the top of that lineup. I mean, there's a lot. There's a lot of good outfielders. We talked about Tommy Pham. His price is all the way up to $4,200 now, so he's not quite the plug and play that he had been. Adam Jones had another good night last night. He's only $3,100.
Adam Jones.
Dexter Fowler. His price has crept all the way up to $3,500. And then our boy, Mr. Matty Kemp. Crushing the baseball lately, is still under 3K. You cannot forget about him at all.
Yeah, if you want a 300-foot foul ball and then a warning track shot in back-to-back pitches, Matt Kemp is your guy.
Yeah, and then the day that we did, the day that we're off of him because we just didn't even think about it, you know, Matt Kemp finally hits that home run. So
unbelievably frustrating. All right, I actually, there were a lot of options tonight, and I actually narrowed them down to a pretty nice list. So I had Judge top that list. I'm gonna have Harper on there. Matty Kemp definitely making the list. Two guys I really like tonight. I love the game in general for offense, but the Tigers and the Orioles tonight, Leonis Martin and Nick Castellanos, both for the Tigers tonight. So Leonis Martin, this guy has just been amazing to start the season. Statcast numbers through the roof, actual numbers through the roof. Nick Castellanos following suit here. They're both going to be taking on Chris Tillman, who's given up slate worst numbers. for pitchers out there. So that's probably the best guy to target on tonight's slate is Chris Tillman, and nothing would make me happier than having Leonis and Nick Castellanos in my lineup tonight.
Yep, I'll agree with that.
Both guys destroying left-handed pitching. So let's switch it over real quick to who's destroying left-handed pitching. I mentioned him earlier in the stacks, but Tommy Pham. We got to make sure that this game actually plays tonight. But Tommy Pham against lefties, he's actually leading all of baseball right now with a .368 batting average. But his .527 wOBA against lefties is 10th best in all of baseball right now.
He's pretty good about hitting left-handed pitching.
Indeed. And all right, here's one last guy I wanted to narrow it down to. Scotty Schebler for the Reds tonight going up against the Minnesota Twins. Now, one thing I absolutely love about Scotty Schebler, well, he always tries to hit the baseball 900 feet. But even if the Twins bring in a lefty, Schebler's got pretty damn good numbers against lefties. So for a guy that's $2,700, typically, you know, you'll see some guys in that range like a Curtis Granderson or a Steve Pierce maybe get platooned out at the end of the game. Not the case with Scott Schebler. $2,700 tonight on FanDuel going up against Hughes. Just a fantastic matchup in every regard for him. So I really like him.
Yep, I'll agree with that.
All right. And also, Odubel Herrera is only $3,000. So that's not. I hate the guy, but forget he's it. Capable of doing great stuff. All right.
I was actually looking at your boy, Nick Williams.
Ah, yes. Now, I wanted to have, I said this earlier in our private chat, but I wanted to have this in-depth discussion about Aaron Altair. Because the guy is absolutely destroying the baseball, and he looks so good. And, of course, the only at-bat that I saw live of Altair's yesterday was the one that he hit into the double play to end the eighth inning when the bases loaded. But
yeah, he rolled over on that ball pretty bad.
I mean, Aaron Altair has just been crushing the ball lately, and I wanted to use him tonight, but Tehran, I think he's like 3-for-21 with double-digit strikeouts against Tehran. So I wonder if he'll even be in the lineup. He has played a lot of days in a row, so this could be a night for Nick Williams. But Look out for Altair, you know, maybe sometime later in this series, especially whenever he's facing a lefty. His WOBA is damn near 500 against lefties so far this season, so keep an eye out for him.
Yeah, it's not like Nick Williams has better numbers, but he's $2,000, and all he's got to do is run into one. And it's and we got to remember, like, you know, Julio Teheran used to be a lot better of a pitcher when they were pitching in the old stadium there in Atlanta. So
yeah, no, and again, with Nick Williams, I think, you know, he's off to a really bad start this season, without a doubt. And I actually want this outfield at one point to be Hoskins, Altair, Williams. But again, too, Aaron Altair got off to a really slow start, and look at him now. So I think, you know, if Phil's guys are working with them, doing the same things that they did for Altair, it's just a matter of time before Williams runs into one.
I'll agree.
All right, cool. All right, that does it for today's slate.
Yes, sir.
That'll do it. All right, folks, you like what you heard, want to hear it 24/7, you can do so. DFSArmy.com, promo code podcast for 10% off each month of your subscription. Me and Keith are out of here for the weekend. Everybody be good and safe with all that. And let us stay cashing, folks. All right, so for me, Keith, the rest of DFS Army, we go.
Peace out.